Well, we've asked Sister Sherry Lakofka to give us a special with the organ this morning, so I hope she turns the organ up and we can all hear and enjoy the organ. I believe heaven will be filled with instruments when we sing out to our Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus. Don't you, Sister Sherry?
Amen. Thank you, Sister Lakofla. That was beautiful. And eternity is a long, long time. And I want you to keep that in mind today as we continue in the service. I've got a little bit of a throat problem this morning, it seems. But you pray for me and the Lord can clear that up. I know that. I've experienced that in the past. But again, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord, and we're looking forward to our worship service this morning. We desire an interest in your prayers. And I'd like to invite your attention to the first chapter of the Gospel as recorded by Luke. I'm just going to read a short lesson. I'm going to read verses 13 through 17. And we'll begin at verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience of the just. I didn't read that right. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to take my subject thought from the gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 24. And I believe it's verse 44, if I'm not mistaken. The Lord Jesus he spoke of a time when the stars would fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens would be shaken. And he said, and then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then in verse 44 that I'm going to use as my foundation for today. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now you may wonder what the connection is between the lesson about John the Baptist and the second coming of the Lord. Well, there is a connection. The Lord Jesus came to this world the first time, and he is coming the second time. And John the Baptist, the Bible said, was a man sent from God. Now that doesn't mean that John had lived in heaven and the Lord sent him on a mission to the earth. That's not what it means. Because we have a record of the father and the mother of John the Baptist. They were well stricken in years. And Elizabeth was barren. She could not have children. Zacharias, he was a priest. And he was doing his service that was assigned to him in the temple. And he was praying. He had been praying. I really don't know what his prayer might have been. He might have been praying for the coming of the Messiah. Most likely he was. But anyway, the angel of the Lord spoke to him. And he said, as I read in your hearing, he said, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. I don't know if he was praying for a child. I suppose he might have been. But the possibility of them having a child was not good, because she was barren and had been barren all of her life. But the angel said that she would conceive and bring forth a son, and said, when he is born, I want you to name him John. And so the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord gave Zacharias some information about the child that would be born. And he said that he would, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And then it said, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. It didn't say he would be great in the sight of men, but he said he'd be great in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord commented concerning John the Baptist while he was here in the world. And he said, men of men that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And he said concerning him that he would not only be great, but he would be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And he said, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he said he would go before the Messiah, the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready, or to make ready, a people prepared for the Lord. Now my thought today is prepared and ready. I want you to think with me, and I want you to follow me very closely today. It was important that people be prepared and ready for the first coming of the Lord. Because when the Lord came, he was going to use a regenerated and redeemed people to begin his church. And so, John the Baptist, he came to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, to get them ready for the Lord to use. Now, we know that John, the Bible says in the third chapter of John, that in those days came John the Baptist out of the wilderness of Judea, and he was preaching, and he said, prepare for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he said repent, not make ready, but that'll make you ready. He said repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Bible said that there were multitudes from the region of Jordan and round about that came out to hear John preach. His message was repent. Repentance brings life to the soul of the person that truly repents of his sins to God. The Bible teaches us that he not only said repent, but in the Acts, the 19th chapter, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that John verily preached that men should repent, or he preached the baptism of repentance, and that they should believe on him that was to come after him. So he preached repentance and faith. He preached repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. as a means of preparing and making ready a people for the Lord. That's the means that he used to prepare people. And you know, there were many people that came to his baptism. And the Bible said that he questioned them. He said, O ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance, and say not within yourselves that we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. John required an experience. He required evidence that they had repented of their sins before he would baptize them. And so I wanted to get before you that before the Lord Jesus came the first time, it was important that there be a group of people that be prepared and ready to serve the Lord, prepared and ready to be used of him. Now the Bible teaches us that Jesus took those whom John had baptized, and he began his church. And his church is still in the world today. It has been the most successful institution that has ever existed. It started with just a handful. And today, there are churches scattered all over this world. And there are people who have a real experience of having repented and trusted in Jesus who are still proclaiming of the truth of God's Word. And so that was important. That was important. God told Zechariah this was going to happen. And so he, when his duties were performed or fulfilled there at the temple, he went home. And his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. And a child was born. The Bible said she hid herself 5 months after she became with child. I could say a lot about that, but I won't. But she hid herself, and she hid herself saying, and I think I've got this right here. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months saying, thus the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Back in the Bible days, women looked forward to bearing children. And if they were barren and could not bear children, they felt that there was something wrong with them. But she said, the Lord hath dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. She would no longer be reproached because she did not have children. And she was thanking God, in my opinion. She was thanking God that he had blessed her with the privilege to bring a child into this world. Of course, at that time, they didn't understand, I don't think, everything that the angel of the Lord said about John. But the Bible tells us that when John was born, and let me put this in too. I'm going to, if I'm not careful, talk too long. But when the angel told Zechariah about this, he just couldn't believe it.
And so the angel of the Lord made him a mute. And I mean by that, he could no longer speak words. And he said, you'll be like this until the day the child's born. And he was. He could not speak. But the day he was born, his tongue was loosed. They were going to name him, you know. And so some of the folks said, let's call him Zacharias after his father. And Elizabeth said, no, we're going to name him John. So they said, let's call his daddy and ask him about this. And so they called Zacharias. And Zacharias called for a writing tablet. And he wrote, his name is John. And when he did that, his tongue was loose. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he began to prophesy concerning John. And the Bible tells us he said that after his tongue was loose, he began to prophesy. And he said, and thou child, talking about the child that had just been named John. Thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Now, I really believe that's the only way that people can be prepared and ready for the Lord is to have the knowledge of salvation about the remission of their sins. I really do believe, in fact, I know because it happened to me. I know for a fact that when the Lord forgives you of your sins, that you have the knowledge of having been saved. The Holy Spirit of God, reveals to us in the new birth that we are children of God, that we have been saved. Our sins have been remitted. They are done away with. And we no longer bear the consequences of our sins. Because Jesus took our sins upon himself and he went to the cross and he died for our sins and he paid the sin debt. So that's the way that John prepared people for the first coming of the Lord. He preached to them, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they did, they received the knowledge. Some people say you can't know whether you're saved or not. You can know. You can know. You know, I would not want to face the judgment without knowing in my heart that I had been saved and that my sins, that I was no longer accountable for my sins. And Jesus, the Bible said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know, he takes the guilt of sin and he takes the condemnation away and he gives you peace with God. And he, by the Holy Spirit, bears witness that you are a child of God, that you're saved, and that your sins are gone. Now I want to turn just from that now, just for a few minutes of time. I mentioned that Jesus is coming again. You know, and the Lord Jesus, He not only set that church up, but He gave it a commission. He told them to go into all the world, preach the gospel, you know, to every nation, to all people. And He said, you know, that you must repent or perish. Salvation's that important. It is either be saved or perish. And so I want to just talk with you for just a minute about that. Now the Lord Jesus, He said, "Be ye therefore ready." And He was having reference to being ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He is coming. And the Bible says He's coming with clouds. And every eye shall behold Him. And they that pierce Him shall see Him. And so Jesus is coming. And so He said, "Be ye therefore ready." There is a preparation that needs to be made in order to be ready when the Lord Jesus comes again. Jesus talked about the antediluvian world and those people that perished in the flood. Somebody said, "I don't believe in that." Well, too bad. It's the truth. You know, the God, He warned the people through the preacher Noah. Bible in the book of Peter calls Him a preacher of righteousness. And He had told Noah He's going to destroy the world. And so He preached to the people. And they rejected His preaching. And they did not make the preparation. They did not get ready for the destruction that was coming. It is obvious that they did not get ready. They did not prepare for that destruction. And so when the flood came, it took them all away. And the Bible said that there was only 8 people that were saved. Only 8 people that were saved from that destruction. They were Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives. And they were safe from the destruction because they were in the ark of safety. And they did not perish. But the rest of the world perished because they did not make preparation. They did not get ready for that time. The Bible talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sins came up before God. And God said, "I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." And He did. You know why? They didn't prepare. They didn't prepare. I want you to think about this. Jesus is coming again. Now the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. We just don't know. We do know this, that we're getting closer to the coming of the Lord. As we look around us and we see all the sin and the degradation, and we see the people that are mocking the Lord Jesus Christ and mocking the people that believe in Jesus. And we see all the strife among nations and among people and even in our own country. You know, surely to goodness that it is a reminder to us that the Lord's coming again. Because Jesus, He said to the disciples, "When ye see these things coming, said, know that the end is near." even at the door. Now, I don't have time to go into everything that I maybe could. But I want you to think about this. Jesus is coming again. And it is vitally important for you to make preparations for that day. Important for you to be ready when the time comes. Now, the Bible said, you know, in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, the parable of the 10 virgins, they were all waiting for the bridegroom to come. And five were wise and five were foolish. Five had made preparation. Five had not. And when the bridegroom came, this is what the Bible said, they that were ready went in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They that were ready. It's important to be ready. The only way you can be ready is to have the knowledge of salvation, to know that you have been saved. The only way you can be ready, my friend, is by having your sins forgiven. And the Bible teaches us that we can have forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think about this for just a few more minutes, and then I'm going to be done. I want to share with you the experience of Saul. Saul was a young Jew. He had been trained in the religion of the Jews. And he despised the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated him. And he hated anybody that loved Jesus or that worshiped Jesus. And he would arrest and put in prison everyone that he could find that was following the way of the Lord Jesus. And he was on his way to Damascus. And he had authority in his pocket to continue to arrest and imprison God's people. And as he neared Damascus, the Bible said there was a light that shined from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Have you ever tried to look at the sun? It's not a smart thing to do. The sun is bright, and at noonday, if you look at the sun just for a few seconds, it'll almost blind you, you know. But this light that appeared to Saul was above the brightness of the noonday sun. He said it was at midday when this took place. And I believe that that light was the overwhelming presence of the Lord, because he fell to the earth. And he was astonished and trembling. He was filled with fear. And he was trembling under that overwhelming presence of the Lord Jesus. And he said in his own words, a voice from heaven spoke to me. I want to tell you, it's a personal thing. The Lord Jesus will speak to you. He'll speak to your heart. And he'll let you know that you're a sinner. And it will cause you to fear and tremble before him. Well, this voice called him by name. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, the one that you have been persecuting, the one that you've been fighting against. That's what it means. He had been fighting against the Lord Jesus. He had been fighting the cause of the Lord Jesus. He didn't want anything to do with Jesus. He was fighting. And the Lord spoke to him. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? And that word means, has reference to conviction. I do believe in old time, heartfelt conviction. I believe the Lord lets you know that you're lost. He does it for a reason. You know what it is? If He didn't, you never would be saved. You never would. You see, we're by nature the children of wrath. And we sin. And we come short of the glory of God. And we're not sinners because we sin. But we sin because we're sinners. We're born sinners. And Jesus said in the third chapter of the book of John, as He is talking to Nicodemus, He said, the Son of Man came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Lost, separated from God, unprepared, and not ready to meet the Lord. And so the Lord spoke to Saul. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I really do believe that right at that moment, Saul was saved. He surrendered. He quit fighting Jesus. There are people today, maybe some in this congregation, the Lord has spoke to you. He has let you know that you were unsaved. You were not ready for the second coming of the Lord. That you needed to make preparation. And you fought that. You spurned that invitation. You turned it away. And you did not submit. You know, the Bible said, John chapter 16. The Lord Jesus said He is going away, and it was expedient, necessary. He said if He didn't go away, the Comforter wouldn't come. But when He was come, He'd reprove. And that means He would arrest, get your attention. And that's what He does. I was sitting in Beaver Creek Missionary Baptist Church, never had felt condemned, never felt lost. And the Holy Spirit got my attention. He arrested me. That's what He done to Saul. He arrested him and got his attention. And if He didn't do that, we'd just go right on in our sins. But I'm glad that He does get our attention and lets us know that we need to be saved. Now, Saul was blind. He was blinded, I think, by that light. He was blind for 3 days. It was a temporary blindness. And after 3 days, he received his sight. But anyway, the Lord Jesus, He spoke to Ananias, said, you go and you talk to Saul. Ananias said, I've heard a lot about this fellow. He's He arrests and puts in prison people that worship the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord said, you don't have to be afraid of him. He said, he's praying. And Saul, Ananias went to Saul, and he went in the house. And he said, Brother Saul, don't you appreciate that word, brother? We're brothers and sisters in the family of God. You know, we're no longer aliens. We're no longer foreigners. But we're fellow citizens and of the household of faith. And Saul had been converted. He had been changed. And he was now a brother. He wasn't any longer an enemy. And he was a brother. And so he said, the Lord appeared unto me and told me that I should come to you and tell you you're a chosen vessel. And God's going to use you. He's going to use you to preach the gospel. He's going to use you to preach to kings and rulers. And so the Bible said that Saul received meat, and then he was baptized. Nobody's ready to be baptized until they have the knowledge of salvation. Baptism's important in its place, but it has no part of regeneration. Regeneration is done by the Spirit and power of God. And so he received strength, and immediately he began to preach what he had been fighting. It made a difference in his life. Salvation makes a difference, folks. It makes a difference. I just want to emphasize, there is a preparation that needs to be made. Jesus is coming. Amen. He's coming. And those that are ready are going with him. And those who are ready are not. Those who are not ready, they'll be damned. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Those that are saved are going to be present with the Lord. And those that are not saved are going to be destroyed. And they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I think it's 1st, it might be 2nd, but it's in the first chapter of one of the books of the Thessalonians. You read it for yourself. It's important to be prepared and ready. Prepared and ready. Has the Lord spoken to you maybe even today? While I've been trying to preach to you about getting ready, has the Lord revealed it to you? You're not ready. You're outside of the ark of safety, exposed to the wrath of God. If Jesus should appear, your destiny would be sealed in the lake of fire. It's important to be ready. Has Jesus got your attention? Has he let you know you're lost? You're not prepared for the coming of the Lord. You're not prepared to go to heaven. You know, we might die. It might be a while before Jesus comes.
You know, we don't know. I just had a birthday. See, I'm 85. You know, so I may very soon go to be with the Lord. That's all right. I'm ready. I've been saved for many years. Over 72 years, I've been a child of God. I can face Jesus with open arms. And I can say, Lord, I'm ready to go. Now, Paul said, and I'm trying to finish. Paul said he had been tried and convicted. And his execution was close at hand. And so this is what he said. I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day, and not only to me, but to all them that love his appearing. So today, has the Lord got your attention? Has he let you know that you need to be saved? Do you have that fear and trembling, the uneasiness, the sure knowledge in your heart? I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I want to say to you that today is the day of salvation. Now's the time. I would invite you. The Lord Jesus invites you. He said, come unto me. Don't come to the preacher. Don't let anybody talk you into making a profession. Jesus said, come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your soul. There's nothing in the world like peace with God. Peace with God. Brother Wayne, let's have a song.